chapter 2. Our message is entitled today, Persuasive Words, taken from this passage. What did I say? What verses? Verse 4 and following. I'll begin there. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. See how creative I am in coming up with those titles? I borrowed it right from that verse. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit. Remember, Paul has not met these people at Colossae. He hasn't met them yet. He only knows them through Epaphras, who is with him. Rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Obviously, they haven't yet fallen headlong to the false teachers. As you therefore have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him who is the head of all principalities and power. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are always impressed at the practicality of Your Word. You have communicated to us in marvelously diverse ways, through miracles and through in the Old Testament saints and all of these things, and through the words of lofty poetry. But you also give us absolutely down-to-earth, concrete advice and warnings that we might engage our lives and do so with knowledge and wisdom. And thus you have written these precious words through the Apostle Paul to send us your own thoughts on these things. Father, may we be like the people of Colossae, that we listen to the apostles' words and that we settle in our minds and resolve that we will be faithful and we'll conduct ourselves in good order according to Christ Jesus our Lord. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. Thank you. I love it. My amen corner right here. It's good to see the young people here. It is. Persuasive words. There's some marvelous stuff in this passage of Scripture, but I don't want to spend a huge amount of time taking it apart in its minuteness or anything like that. Sometimes we do that. We preachers do that in order to find three or four alliterative headings. Everything starting with a letter. Okay. I don't do that. You probably have noticed that, haven't you? That I don't do the 3 points in a poem kind of thing. Although I like poetry and I'm apt to read a verse of something or other from time to time. I want to see the practicality, just as I said in my prayers, of what the Lord is doing for you and what the Lord is doing for me. As we live out our lives, not only as church members, but as people in our society and in our community. But here he's talking about false teachers. Here he's talking about those that would teach against those traditions which you have received. He says to the Thessalonians, for instance. He's not talking about traditions as we have them in mind. He's talking about the gospel that they have received. And that if anyone would come with another gospel, you must reject him. Oh, gee, they're judging? Yes, of course they're judging. They must judge. And you must not be persuaded by slick words. Persuasive words. That's where I want to focus our attention today. How many times have I heard people come to me and say, "Wow, what do you think of that Jack Van Impe?" Well, it's amazing, isn't it? I look at Jack Van Impe on the TV and think him a buffoon. I mean, I think of him as a buffoon. He's laughable. He is something that, you know, take a fly swatter and just swat. And yet, there are those that think he's very persuasive. Isn't that interesting? And that's what I want to talk about. That because the opponents of the gospel are not stupid people. The Jesus seminars, the people that don't even believe in Jesus, who are actually trying to preach or teach that Jesus was just a mere man. That's what they're doing. They're called the Jesus seminars and great biblical scholars. None of them are stupid, but they come to you with persuasive words. And you'll start to say, wow, that makes sense, eh? And then often it does at some level or another. In other words, you can take Benny Hinn. Buffoon does come to mind. But Benny Hinn. Now, when he's not casting and throwing the Holy Spirit up into the upper decks, when he's just talking, there are moments when he sounds persuasive. And you have to be really knowledgeable in order to detect those false teachers. Paul is not saying that they're not smart. He's not saying that they're stupid people. And he is saying, in fact, just the opposite, that these people come to you with persuasive words. They know how to get to you by pushing the buttons that you want pushed. And so therefore, in many churches, for instance, just as I had the fellowship down in Illinois of the Sovereign Grace preachers, we had OPC, that's Orthodox Presbyterian Church pastor, two of those. We had one regular Presbyterian PCA person, two Baptists, myself, and some others in a church fellowship. And a pastor fellowship. And the preachers there would say, oh, we're Calvinistic, because that was what bound us together. But I never preached that in my church. What? And I'm thinking to myself, well, then what do you preach? Persuasive words. Are there persuasive Arminians? Oh, you bet. And yet, are they absolutely wrong? Oh, you bet. And so what you must do as a Christian, and what we read those passages about, is that my job is to equip you for ministry. What Jaron read. God has appointed me to equip you for ministry. Didn't you guys read that? Let's go back. Where was that at? 2 Corinthians. Now, that's Ephesians chapter 5. Hang on a second. Let's read it. Ephesians chapter 4. And he himself, verse 11, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. To do what? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Jaron, please forgive me. You know, brother, I love you very much. You are my best supporter. But you hesitated there and almost put a comma in there verbally. You didn't do it on purpose. You said, for the equipping of the saints, you paused, for the work of ministry. But that's not what it says. It says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Ministry, folks, is ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you need to be equipped to do that. You see, I can't do it by myself. I can't. That would be silly. I'm a representative. I do my part. You do your part. You are ministers of the gospel of Christ with me. And my job is to equip you to do that. And one of those things is to teach you not to pay attention to persuasive words. That's what we're here for. That really is. And here we could talk about wisdom and knowledge, because that's in the context. If I kept on reading in Colossians, hang on a second, I've turned away from my text. He speaks of I'm trying to think where he said to chapter 2. Forgive me for a minute. I'm having one of those moments. he's talking about wisdom, becoming to you wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge and wisdom. And it is Christ. Now, he said it back in 1 Corinthians. Christ who has become to us wisdom and knowledge. That's maybe I'll go to that one to clarify my point. That would be 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if I'm not mistaken. Or chapter 1. Verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That as it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. What my job is to do is to equip you to first detect persuasive words, and your job then is to rebuke those persuasive words. If you find people coming in, and I remind you, in all the readings that we had, the false teachers were in the church. Long have I said that I don't worry about false teachers like Jack Van Impe on the TV. I don't worry about the Benny Hinns. I think that I find it quite easy to spin past them with my little clicker. They have no inclination to stop and watch these buffoons. But I do watch some of them. And I want you to know how to discern right from wrong, persuasive words and slick words from the truth of the gospel. Now, I've developed a sort of, what shall you say, a taxonomy of rules of thumb. These are more humorous than they are biblical. And they're on my own personal. Let me share a couple of you. If the teaching makes you feel too comfortable, it's probably not the gospel. Okay. That's a rule of thumb. If you're not challenged by the preaching of the word, it's probably, unless the person is preaching about hope and all those kinds of things. But if you sit in a church and you're never challenged and you don't hear anything that makes you say, I don't know if I agree with that man on that, you're probably not hearing the truth. And you're probably hearing slick words. That slick words are by preachers who purposely go through their manuscripts or their outlines and stuff to make sure that they take out the name of Jesus Christ. And they put in something more, what shall you say, generic, God, or something else. Slick words. Slick words. Persuasive words. And they appeal to logic and wisdom and knowledge. By the way, all of those things are absolutely important, aren't they? Absolutely. Taken in and of themselves, there's nothing wrong with that. I want you to be knowledgeable people. I want you to know your scriptures. But that's not all I want you to know about. I want you to know how that plays out in the world, too. And I believe that the best minister, you, and the best Christian, is one who not only knows the Word of God in sort of a narrow framework, but one who knows the Word of God and sees played out in its culture the things that you read there. I believe that that is true. We need to be wise. That's what it means to be as wise as serpents. Serpents are wise. And as harmless as doves. Those are metaphors, guys. I don't know if doves are harmless. They leave a lot of wastes on stuff. They're not harmless, but they symbolize harmless. harmlessness. Just as serpents symbolize those that are sneaking through the grass, lying in wait, those kinds of things. We're to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. What does that mean? That we are to mix together regular wisdom, knowledge and wisdom, and use it in benign but knowledgeable ways. We don't try to harm people when we discover that there are ways of harming people. Like, for instance, knowledge, this is not so much wisdom, is if you were an enemy of the United States, when would you attack her? Well, I dare say Saturday night would be pretty good. We got most, a third of the population is drunk by that time. They're going to be in a deep sleep until 12 o'clock on Sunday. There's a pretty good time. Now, that's knowledge, I suppose. I'm not so sure what wisdom that adds up to. But I don't practice that. I'm not planning on attacking America, okay? But you got to see in our culture. If I was going to another attack on America, why am I on this kind of metaphor? But I let's do it anyway. I know what I would do. I'd pull the plug on your games. Oh my. What would America do without electricity? No computers? No nothing. What does that tell you? Knowledge tells you the electrical grid seems like an obvious target, eh? Now that's a wicked, wicked kind of thinking. But since I thought it, and because of my Christian belief, I'm not going to practice that. I'm going to protect that grid. But guess what? There are those with persuasive words that would do exactly what I suggested. There are people that might also go at a more basic thing, the water system, the water that you drink. Ooh. Now you must be as wily as serpents. You must anticipate that kind of stuff, and harmless as doves. In other words, you're taking knowledge, mere knowledge, those things considered as mere knowledge, that's interesting information. But the next step is wisdom. Knowledge applied to circumstances. Knowledge applied to your world. That's wisdom. It's not just knowledge. You know the difference. You know the difference when you go to a church where the pastor is a seminary professor, and he preaches, where's Uri at? We both had this experience, and so we know. Where you preach, where the guy preaches for an hour, and it sounds like some complex, lecture from a theological class. And everybody, Uri will tell you this, and he'll tell you this with a big old grin on his face. It appeared that everybody in the congregation was dead asleep. You know, you've seen them, haven't you? Where they're kind of like fighting to keep their eyes open, but more or less asleep. That's a person, a preacher who had knowledge, but who was not applying it wisely. I told you this morning, wisdom would say you have your limits to what you can endure. And so I will try to adopt my message to your limits of endurance. And therefore I'll have more effect. That's what it means as being wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We're not to be ignorant of the things of the world. The Apostle Paul says, we know the wiles of the devil. He has persuasive words. And he presents himself as an angel of light. So he said, why should we be surprised, the Apostle Paul says, that ministers should try to present themselves with persuasive words and deceptive words? We have this in abundance right now. I am very, very disturbed about this week. I've had a hard time. I'm not going to tell you the details, but I've had a hard time with a couple of Christian brothers. Preachers, both preachers. And I've had to rebuke them. And they're not happy. But they come to me with what seems to be persuasive words. But what really was disguised hatred. And so, being a student of the Scriptures, and an observer of how Satan works, and an observer of how he tries to come into the church and present false doctrine, and to cover over his deceit prettily and nicely, I undressed them and revealed the truth to what they were saying, using the Scriptures to do it. Now, that's a hard business. I want you to know, out of these men, I had high respect for one of them, very high respect. No, I mean, really. I think I even said it. I'm sharing this with Di, so you, if I say Di. I think I even said that I held him in high esteem and was so surprised at the crude falsehood that he was propagating. I'm very surprised of one who is so intelligent and one who is so bright when it comes to understanding the Word of God and theology and all things theological, could, when applied to the culture and to the real life and everything else, be so duped in ignorance. Persuasive words. Don't be fooled by persuasive words. And always be ready to check them like the Bereans against the Word of God. Now, the difference between me standing up here and saying this and they preaching, the difference is I'm telling you to do that to me. That's the difference. They would come to you and not tell you that they could possibly make a mistake. When it comes to certain things, they just think they know everything. I don't. I'm a fallible human being. But at the same time, and so I tell you, you must not be persuaded with persuasive words. If you think I am trying persuasive words on you, challenge me, please. I want you to. No, I require you to, because that is part of equipping you for ministry. If you can't do that with me, then you're not likely to do it with one outside, eh? So I want you to be equipped for ministry in this world. I want you to understand that there are those in the church that are out there and they have their own motives. The Apostle Paul, far worse than I'm always amazed at how people think that I'm pretty tough sometimes, and yet the Apostle Paul says they're just serving their own belly. Do you know what he's really saying? That is some kind of nasty thing. But he says their motives are wrong, and they are deceivers, and they're trying to capture you like animals, or like, it's the illustration in the Old Testament is like a bird's a fowler's nest. You know what I'm talking about? Where they throw nets over birds. There are men and teachers in the church, in the so-called church, that are trying to deceive you with persuasive words. Your counteraction is just what he says here. Is to beware first, that lest anyone cheat you through philosophy. They do not mean philosophy in the same sense. Any system of systematic system of worldview was considered philosophy in the Greek culture. In the an empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, that would mean based on logic, reason, and without appeal to the Word of God. You know, go to the Jesus seminars. They'll prove to you that Jesus wasn't God, but he was only man. But they will appeal to human traditions to prove it. Slick words. Persuasive words. deceitful words. According to the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ. Christ is your strength. Christ is your knowledge. Christ, it's not me. I'm teaching you these things. Christ and in Him is everything. Knowledge by itself is useless unless applied wisely to your life. You can actually become what? Inured to real religion. You can become cauterized, dead to it by exercising only your brain. Oh, do I love theology? Y'all know that I do. Do I think that theology is where this is? No. It is in Christ Jesus. And to the degree that theology points or describes Christ Jesus, I'm a loving theology. But as soon as it is theology for its own sake, I despise it. And so we need to buffer. What is the word to? No, we need to soften this whole our knowledge with wisdom, and we need to be sure that we teach ourselves and that we learn discipline, not just in behaviors and ethics and such, but in thinking, so that we'll not be cheated by persuasive words. And boy, do you have that challenge. All over our society, especially if you watch TV, religious TV, if there is such a thing. It's kind of hard to characterize the stuff you see on religious TV as religious sometimes. But there are some speakers and there are some teachers that are deceptive. There are some that if I was to use their name, I try not to, but wait. No, I do anyway. I can't think of her name. The one that does the teaching, the woman, what's her name? Joyce. Perhaps you haven't listened to her carefully enough, but she teaches with persuasive words and not according to Christ. Does that bother you? Then approach me and let's talk. But don't sit there and listen to her without at least considering that what she says is deceptive. All I'm asking you to do, I'm not asking you to write that off. Everybody knows I might sit there and listen to her. I have to listen to her in order to determine what she's saying. I have to listen to Benny Hinn, although I don't do that anymore. Buffoon. I've ruled that out long ago. Joyce Meyer's not that way. Is it Meyer? She's not that way. Do you ever see her throwing the Holy Spirit up into the upper deck? No. She teaches. She basically is a teacher. And she's got all kinds of humorous approach and all those kinds of things. Slick. Persuasive. Deceitful. Whoa. And she's not even in the church, but presents herself in seminars, in large gatherings, where tens of thousands of women go to listen to persuasive and slick. I'm reminded of Moses coming down from the mountain, okay, and hearing the noise from the camp. What? 4th of July down there or something. No, there's a big party going on. Thousands of people had, in a moment's time, at the drop of a hat, gathered to have a big party. I am absolutely stunned and amazed at how easy it is to get Christendom to follow persuasive words. There's always the temptation to do it. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Preachers have that temptation. How can I build a larger congregation? Slick words. I could try marketing schemes, which is nothing but slick words with images the same way. But I'll tell you why I don't do that. Because I want every single addition to this church to be God's addition to this church. And that to have come by the preaching of the Word of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And if God chooses not to add some, so be it. If He chooses to add some, thanks be unto God. But I'll never change the message. I will never preach to you, Lord willing, as much as I can, humanly speaking, with persuasive words. I will try to persuade you, but they will not be slick and persuasive words according to the doctrines of men, but rather, they will be from the Word of God. And even if I upset you by saying, no man can come to me except the Father who sent me draws him, maybe that'll upset you. And maybe you'll get all mad and hot under the collar. But that, dear folks, is true preaching. And because it is the Word of God, and it is the Word of God faithfully preached. I say all of this morning to tell you that I see in this passage a clear mandate for me as your pastor. And I hope now you see that mandate as clearly as I. That one of my jobs, not all of it, but one of my jobs is to equip. I have been appointed by the Lord. Where am I at here? Colossians. I am called. I'm one of the workers appointed by God to equip the saints for ministry and to be sure that you're not taken in by deceitful and persuasive words. I take that part of my ministry very, very seriously. I got to tell you. And so that is the basis for what we're going to do this afternoon. That is a stimulus in my teaching almost every time I step in front of a class, is to equip the saints to be wiser, more knowledgeable, and able to discern what is right and wrong and not be duped by deceitful, persuasive words. Let's all rise as we finish. Let me pray. And dear Lord, I have been very fortunate that you've given me attentive members and believers that have come to a full recognition of their purpose in life and their freedom in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so they are attentive to the things that we teach, knowing that they too will be pounded and hammered by deceitful and persuasive words according to the doctrines of men, even this very week that will happen. And so, Father, it is as a shepherd, an under shepherd of this flock, it is my desire, not just that I protect them, but that I equip them for ministry and to be able to discern within themselves when things are not as they should be. And we are thankful, dear Father, not that you've just given ministers to do that and pastors, but that you've also given us that one thing which we cannot do without, the Word of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only that, but you further equipped us by giving us of your Holy Spirit who abides within us. And He works through this very Word to instruct and to teach and to equip every single soul that has leaned for repose on Jesus Christ, our precious Lord. It's in His precious name that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.